Households for Christ. And I hadn't forgotten that I was in that series. And before Households for Christ, last year we were going through the book of Hebrews. And I haven't forgotten about the book of Hebrews. Some people think I have, but I haven't. We're in Hebrews chapter 7. I believe we went through that entire chapter. We'll be in chapter 8 when I get back to it, but we will finish the book of Hebrews. Today, I wanted to look at another passage of Scripture in talking about the households for Christ, what I see in the Scripture and what I believe God is doing. I mean, he saved you, right? Amen. Which means he got the hardest one of the whole bunch. Okay, so if he saved you, come on, if he saved me, he can save the rest of them. Amen? Because that's what, that's just really on my heart these days. And that we are seeing, we want to see people come to Christ. That's the most important thing that could ever happen to a person. And so we believe God for that, and we desire that. So let's pray. We'll jump into the Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for truth. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through the Word today. Lord, be with my mouth to communicate, Lord, what your heart is saying to your people. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this is part 5, and there is another part coming to this. But today we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up at the overhead. And it reads, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now Paul and those who traveled with him, when they would go from city to city preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said that the gospel is the power of God unto the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. So Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. But Paul made it a practice that wherever he went, he always sought out the Jews first. Okay? And so he goes here into Philippi. And he goes into the city, and obviously there was not a synagogue there. A synagogue was this establishment of the Jews where 10 men, heads of the household, had to be present for a synagogue to be established. There was no synagogue for Paul to go into, so what we understand is there was not a strong Jewish population in Philippi at this particular moment because they went outside of the city. He says, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. So we see there's no synagogue there. And he goes on and he says, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. And so we also see that there were women meeting here. Apparently, either little men or none at all were meeting here for prayer. Verse 14 reads, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira who worshipped God." And what commentators say about Lydia was that she was obviously a woman of means because, as we'll see, she invited them to stay in their home, Paul and his three companions. And to invite someone with four people into your house means you have to have room to sleep four people. It also means you have to have servants to wait on these four people, right? And so she was a seller of purple, and purple was this fabric that they sold in the city of Thyatira, which she was from. Now she brought this to Philippi, and it was a well-to-do industry to be in. And so this would have been a woman who had, we would say, not means today, we would say a little money, Okay? And so, and all that's great. Now, the line I want to get to is this last line. And it says, which says, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. Now, let me tell you something. We know this to be true, that if the Lord does not open your heart, you cannot hear the gospel. You cannot respond to the gospel. No one can even be saved unless the Lord opened their heart. Because we see here, some commentators believe now in Thyatira, we know there was a church. Because Jesus addresses it in Revelation chapter 3. The church at Thyatira, and maybe that she had fell into, had relationships with Jews, and maybe had attended a synagogue while she was at Thyatira, but now she's in Philippi. There is no synagogue, but she's given herself to prayer. This woman at the moment that Paul met her was not born again, but she was one who would have maybe been a proselyte to Judaism, would have heard about Yahweh or Jehovah, and still sought to pray and to have some type of piety or holiness to her own life. And so Paul and his companions, Luke obviously being one of them who's writing the book of Acts, they sit down with her, and Paul begins to speak about the things of God. And the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart. The Lord, the only one who can open somebody's heart is the Lord. The only one who can open somebody's heart is the Lord. Matter of fact, some of us, if not all of us, we have led someone to Jesus before. And the reason why we were able to lead them to Jesus was because the Lord had opened their heart. Come on, you hear me? And so you know, and that's one of the things about soul winning is that when you become a soul winner, it's not you winning anybody. It's just you being sensitive enough to recognize the Holy Spirit. Come on, the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you about my brother-in-law who got saved? And so when I was brushing my teeth, the Lord said, go in there and share the gospel with him. Why did the Lord tell me to go in there and share the gospel with him? Because he had already opened his heart. See, had I shared the gospel with him and his heart wasn't open, nothing would have happened. But because his heart was open, then the gospel's preached, then the person responds. So all the glory rightfully goes to who? Goes to God. He's the opener of hearts. And I want to take the balance of the message. I haven't said much. But I want to take the balance of the message, and I want to go through the scriptures, and I love doing this. And I just want to look at God, what God opened, because what God opens, no one else can open. What God opens, no one else can open. So let's look at this. Genesis 21:19. This is the story of Hagar. She's been put out of the house by her mistress, Sarah, because she's not going to have Ishmael growing up making fun of Isaac, and she put her out. And she put her out there in the desert place. There's no water there, and the boy is becoming faint. And the scripture says, then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Now, I said earlier that what God opens, no one else can do. There was no one else out in this desert. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in a desert. But I was in a desert. Me and Tori were in a desert in Namibia, the only desert I ever been in. But I'm telling you what, there is no water. And if you out there by yourself, there's no shade. There's nothing. There's no trees, nothing. And if that sun's beating down on, there's no water, you are in trouble. And so, but God, the scripture says, he opened her eyes so that she could see what she needed. How many of you know that if God doesn't open our eyes, we too will die of thirst, spiritually or in any other way? We must have God to open our eyes to see the things around us that we cannot see. Doesn't stop there. In Psalm 105:41, it says this, for the Israelites, they were out in the desert, and it says, he opened the rock. Do you know anybody who can open up a rock and get water out of a rock? I've never seen anybody do it before. But God opened the rock, and water's gushed out. My Lord, God is the only one that can do this. He's the only one that can give you a resource from something that ought not to be that resourceful. Amen? And so we talk about blood from a turnip. How about water from a rock? It says it ran in the dry places like a river. Over 1.5 million people drank water from that rock. Think about it. 1.5 million. They weren't coming with cups. It was gushing out. They could probably jump into it. Just open up your mouth and drink. And so God opened up rock to satisfy the thirst of the people. How about wombs? In the Old Testament, Genesis 29:31, when the Lord saw, you know the story about Leah and Rachel? Jacob loved Rachel. She was beautiful. She had a formerly body, the Bible says. Jacob looked at her and went, "Whoa, that's the one. I'll serve you 7 years. And then Jacob lied to him. He said, "I'll serve you 14 years for her, but I want her." And he got her, but he married Leah first. And Leah was loved by Jacob less than Rachel was. And the Bible says that when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. Now, do you know anybody who can open a womb? I don't know anybody who can open a womb. Only God can open a womb. Even in this day and age, even in this day and age, when we have all of our technology, in vitro fertilization, we got all of these things, there are still, in America all by itself, 7.3 million women from the age of 15 to 44 who cannot get pregnant. 7.3 million. God opened her womb. Now that has to tell us something, that either that she had a problem to begin with, or God had closed her womb, right? Because here it says he opened it. And I just want us to notice that all these things we're looking at, only God can do. Only God can do. And because I'm looking at how God, then the greatest thing that we'll see, one of the greatest things, is that he opened Lydia's heart. The only place in Scripture when it says God opened a person's heart, so far that I've found. All right. And so, now I have a friend. She used to go to this church. I was a youth pastor. She was a young lady in the youth group. And so we could reconnect on Facebook, and she says, when we first got reconnected, she says, "I'm really facing a tough time." You know, and I begin, and we're chatting, and I'm praying through the chat, "Father, in the name of Jesus, bam. Lord, we pray that this, bam," you know, hit the enter button, and we're praying Isaiah 20. She said, can you tell me anything that would encourage me? Isaiah 26 and 3. What does it say? What is Isaiah 26:3? It says that thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in the verse 4, trusting in the Lord Jehovah, for in Yahweh is everlasting strength. And so I'm chatting with her and telling her, "Don't be discouraged." Bam! And she's like, "I'm thinking about this scripture all day long." She says, "Pat, thank you so much for that scripture." She was infertile. The doctors told us we will never have children. "Pastor, this is all I ever wanted. All I ever wanted was a family." And this is what the doctors told us. 3 months after that prayer, she contacts me on Facebook. "Pastor, you will never believe this." I said, "Try me. I'm pregnant." I said, "Hallelujah." She says, "But it ain't stopped there." She said, "They looked inside. I'm pregnant with twins." I'm pregnant with twins. Why? Because the Lord opens wombs. He can do what nobody else can do. He can do it. He can do it. He opens up wombs. He didn't stop there. In Genesis 30:22 says, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb." He's a womb opener. Amen. God made a woman's body to bring forth children. And if we can take a spiritual application to this, that the church is the bride of Christ and the church is to bring forth spiritual children, spiritual converts. And I believe that God wants every church to bring forth children. Amen? He does these things. Look at Numbers chapter 22 and 28, a more comical one, but one nonetheless. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Do you know anybody who can make a donkey talk? Thank you. We're talking about God. He's the only one that can open up the mouth of a donkey. And if he ever does it on you, it's because you ain't been listening to what he said prior to that. So you know, pray, hope and pray that you don't have to have a donkey talk to you. But God calls Balaam to hear his message from an unexpected source. And God can cause you to hear from someone what you normally wouldn't hear. Why? Because he's trying to get a message across. But God, the same God who opened wombs, who opened up eyes so people could have a drink, so who opened up a rock, he opened up a donkey's mouth. Had an atheist friend ask me the other day, Do you believe that the serpent talked to Adam and Eve in the garden? I said, sure enough, and you forgot about the donkey in Numbers chapter 22. I believe the donkey talked too. Add that to it. I believe it all. I believe everything this book says. Amen? Ridicule me, laugh at me, talk about me, but I believe what this book declares. And I'm going to have what it says I'm going to have, which is the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. 1 Peter 1. All right. Let's keep going. Spiritual eyes open. Numbers chapter 22, verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. In other words, there are things going on around you and I right now. There are things that are going on all over the place, but we can't see it unless the Lord opens your eyes. And so Balaam is running headlong. He's going to do what he's going to do so he can make a little money because he's got this lust in his heart. And God has already told him not to go. And so God decides that he's going to open up Balaam's eyes to show you what the donkey was trying to get you to avoid, see? But you hit the female donkey three times, and now the donkey sat down and Balaam's mad, and God opens up Balaam's eyes. Oh, my goodness. And he saw that the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn. Why? Because God was about to kill Balaam. He's about to kill him. And God is the one who opens up people's eyes so they can see things that they normally would not see. I was tempted with this atheist friend of mine because one of the things, you know, atheists believe, show me, give me evidence, science. We can measure it, chart it, we can do all this. And I've been so tempted to pray this, Lord, show him. Give him some evidence, have him see. And then when the next time I talk to him, he's like, you know. And I'm like, well, hey. But I haven't done that. But God is the one who opens up people's eyes. And angels are all around us. They're all about us. We can't see them, but they are. Remember 2 Kings 6:17, where it says, where the Elisha's servant went out and said, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so the servant took courage. How many of you know when he walked up there, he's like, "Oh, master, what shall we do?" But afterward, he kind of brought his chest out, you know, kind of, "Hey, I'm feeling pretty good right about now. I think we can take them. How many of you know that sometimes we need to have our eyes open because we're in a battle and we're in a struggle and we don't see how on earth we're going to make it. But Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Help him to see. And sometimes I wish we could see. And I believe God gives us a glimpse into things so that we can have, so that we can be encouraged. Encouraged. Psalm 32 verse 10 says that many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but they that trust in the Lord, mercy shall compass them about. Mercy shall surround them. Shall surround them. And beloved, you and I are surrounded by the mercy of God. We don't always know it. It's not always apparent to us. And that's why at times the Lord has to open our eyes to it. Doesn't stop there in Luke chapter 24, verse 31. This is when Jesus was talking to the two disciples on their road on the road to Emmaus. And they were walking and talking with Jesus, and they did not know it. And at the end of their time together, it says, then their eyes were open, and they knew him after he had broken bread. And it says, he vanished from their sight. After their eyes were open, God is the one who can open your eyes and cause you to see him. No one else can do that. No one else can do that. We're looking at what only God can open. Amen? Doesn't stop there. It moves on to the heavens. Two scriptures that I haven't put up there. Ezekiel 1:1 reads, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. The heavens were open, I saw visions of God. Literally, the heavens opened up, and Ezekiel saw visions that came from God. Okay? Another scripture, which is here, Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. What exactly did that look like? I cannot tell you. But the scripture says that the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God. Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Because the heavens were open. Many times we pray for an open heaven, right? Sometimes I think if we got an open heaven, we wouldn't really know what to do with it. Because when the heavens open up, beloved, heaven is invading earth at that point. And that can be a very scary proposition. Because God is good, but he's also holy. Amen? All right. Acts 7:56. It was, who's this? The Stephen. Stephen, the deacon, as he's being stoned, he said this, and his life is departing from him. He says, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. There is no one that can open the heavens but God alone. No one can open the heavens but God alone. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. And so you wonder, okay, Lord, what exactly are you talking about when this thing shall be opened? Because what I'm understanding from the scripture is that there's only things that you can open. No one else can open. But here you're saying pray and knock on these things, this door. You knock on a door, right, and it will be opened to you. And so I believe that God is opening, as to our text, as he's opened up Lydia's heart. I believe God is in the process of opening up hearts for those that we're praying for. Amen? For those that we're believing God for. We're talking about households for Christ. Let's move on. Blind eyes. He's the blind eye opener. Matthew 9:30, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no man knows it. Only Jesus, God himself, can open blind eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe that you are opening the eyes of the blind, those who are spiritually blind. Come on, there are people in your life and in my life, they are spiritually blind. They are walking into walls. They are walking into ditches. They are walking into areas that they ought not be walking. Why? Because they're spiritually blind. They have no sight. They have no vision. They cannot make proper decisions. They cannot make correct decisions. Why? Because they're blind. And God is the one who opens up blind eyes. In John chapter 9, verse 30, that famous passage of the blind man who was blind from birth that Jesus healed, the man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he, Jesus, is from, and yet he has opened my eyes." Amen? Because Jesus is the blind eye opener. This was the man who says, they kept asking him, "How did he heal your eyes?" He says, "I don't know. All I know is that was blind, but now I see." That's where we get that line from. All right? Matthew 20:33, it says that then he said to them, then they said to him, rather, to the Lord, because Christ had asked them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said that our eyes may be opened. Not only that, but he opened the graves. He opened the graves. Ezekiel 37:13 reads this way, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave." Now, I don't know too many people who like to go to a graveyard at night and walk around and, you know, carry on like that. But God is the grave opener. You remember that scripture I shared with you last week where God said that he was gonna give death a notice. And he said, "I'm going to destroy you, and I'm not going to have any pity on you," right? Well, here, God says, when I have opened your graves, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Matthew 27:52 reads, "And the graves were opened, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." God is the one who opens graves. You say, "Well, anybody can open a grave." Matthew 27, that people came out of the grave. You say anyone could open the grave. Not if you don't, yeah, they could open the grave of a dead person, but you can't open up the grave of a person who's coming out because you don't know who's coming out. God opened up the graves of the people who were coming out. And so they came out, resurrected after Jesus' own resurrection, went into the city and appeared to many. All right. 2 Kings, now these people would be in the grave, but God did something so they didn't have to be. And he turned, 2 Kings 4, this would be Elisha, and he returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. You say, what's so significant about a child opening his eyes from sleep? Well, that's not significant at all. But when the child is dead and the child opens his eyes, that's quite significant. Because God is the only one who can raise people from the dead. And that's what happened in this case. And so in the scriptures, when we see over and over and over again, God opening up things, God doing things, and when we look at our text that God opened up Lydia's own heart, we see how significant it is, because only God can open hearts, only God can open graves, only God can open wombs and blind eyes and rocks. Only God can do these things. It happened in the New Testament. Acts chapter 9 and 40 says, "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, turning to Dorcas' body. Turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise,' and she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up." Who opened her eyes? God opened her eyes. God is the only one who can open the eyes of the dead. Deaf ears were opened. Mark 7:33-35, "Then looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly." Jesus opening up people's ears so that they might hear. And this would be close to what happened with Lydia as well, because there are people, have you ever shared the gospel with someone and it looked like they were looking right past you? I mean, they could not hear a word you were saying. I remember when I was in the gym years ago and I was witnessing to these two guys, and both of them were G-string dancers, okay? Both of them were in the nightclub, stripping, they were doing all this stuff. And so I'm there sharing, and let me tell you something. I understand when the presence of God comes on me, when there's someone I'm talking to, and I understand when I can feel the presence of God when it's not me. You know what I'm talking about? You know, God, something is happening here, and you're sharing, but you know you can feel God's presence and all this. And I knew, I said, man, well, the Holy Ghost, I can really feel his presence right now. And I was sharing to these two gentlemen. This is what was interesting. One of the gentlemen got saved, came to church, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. He's walking with God today. The other man walked out from there, never got touched, never got changed, went back into the court, doing everything he was doing. He said, what was the difference? One had ears to hear. Remember, Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. He could hear what I was saying. His heart was open. The other one, no effect. No effect. God is the one who opens the ears of the spiritually deaf so that they can hear the call of Father God. All right. Not only that, doesn't only stop with deaf ears open, but how about understanding open? Some of you in school, you would like to have your understanding open so you can understand all that you're studying, because you might not have a clue as to what you're studying. Well, this is a little bit different. Luke chapter 24, 32 says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? You know, God is the only one, he's the only person who can open up your understanding so that you can understand the scriptures. And even when someone stands up to teach, the reason that you understand what's being taught is because God is still through that teacher giving you understanding. Okay? And so God gave the Lord Jesus Christ, opened up the scriptures to them so that they might understand. It didn't stop there. Later on, when Christ came into their presence again, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, so that not only what he was telling them in verse 32, that they understand that because he was teaching them, but he gave them understanding so that when they would then go back and read the scriptures themselves, they would have understanding of what God was saying through his word. God is the one who gives us understanding. I don't know how many times I've heard Carl mention he'll be at work and there's a problem with a client and he doesn't know what the answer is. And he'll just start praying in the Spirit and say, Father, give me the answer. Holy Spirit, I know you know what the answer is. Lord, give me wisdom. And the Lord will give him understanding, and then he'll fix the problem in no time and have it done. And people are like, how'd you do that? I mean, how did that happen? And he said, well, you know, God's able. And God helps him, and God will help you. He can give you understanding. If you ask for it, he'll help you. Amen. He's not stingy with his wisdom. All right? Doesn't stop there. Prison doors are opened. How many of you know that there are people, multitudes of people locked up in prison today? And I'm not talking about the physical prison. A lot of people in physical prison belong in prison, need to keep the doors locked, okay, because they belong there, right? This is a physical prison, and there are some people in physical prison, they need to be let out because they're in there for the wrong reason. And only God knows how to make that happen. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 19, the apostles were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, listen, how many of you know that only God can open the prison doors? There are people not only in physical prisons, there are people in emotional prisons. There are people in prisons of their past because they were abused or something happened to them. Christ is in the business of opening up the prison doors. He said it in Isaiah chapter 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to set the captives free, to open up the prison doors, to preach the gospel to the poor. He said all these things. I've been anointed to open prison doors. And we don't have to live in a prison any longer. We don't have to be bound up. Why? Because God has come to open the prison doors. And today God is opening the prison doors of many. He's opening the prison doors of many. Why? Because he wants people to be free. He wants people to be free. It happened again in Acts chapter 12, verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard. This was Peter being delivered by the angel. They came to the iron gate that leads to the city. And it says this, which opened to them of its own accord. So what that means is when the angel and Peter walked up to the gate, they didn't have to say anything. The gate just opened up. My God. The gate just opened up and turned them loose. Because that's the power that God has to open up prison doors. And listen, even in your life today, even in my life, I'm going to tell you what God's doing. He's opening up the prison doors, things that have held us captive for a long time. Come on, because when you come to Christ, you're not made perfect in the day. We all understand that. But God is in the process. God is in the business of setting captives free. He's in the business of opening up prison doors. And I'm telling you something. Boy, this year for me, this year has been a year. I can't go. I'm not going to go and talk. But I'll tell you what. This year has been a year where God has opened up something and turned me loose. And I'm feeling it. And every day, I rejoice in it. I'm saying, God. This is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. And so I thank God for the fact that he is in the business of opening prison doors that nobody else could open. Nobody else could open. How about doors of opportunity? Maybe there's a door of opportunity opening to you. You know that God gives opportunities. He opens up opportunities for you. And you've heard it said, opportunity doesn't knock twice, okay? And so there's an opportunity before you that God places there, and when he does it, you got to run through it. I like, again, Carl has this funny, Carl says, he says to me, Tom, on Tuesday night, he says, Father, I pray that you shut the doors that need to be shut and open the doors that need to be opened, because whatever doors were open, I'm running through it full speed. And so he takes off running, because he's going to run through the doors. Why? Because he understands this. The doors that are open, God has opened them. So if the door is open, what do? You if you see a person, my Lord, if you ever saw a person doing this, you'd probably say to yourself, I ain't never seen a person stand in an open door and just look around and just, I wonder what I'm supposed to do with this thing. Just stand here and carry on and just have a conversation. What do you think I ought to do about this open door? Well, I say, fool, walk through the thing. That's what you're supposed to do with it. Right? So God opens up opportunities. Look at Acts 14:27. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Huge scripture. Huge. For the Jews, when the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the Jews thought that was just for them. They really thought, okay, this is just for us. But no. He says, no, the door of faith has been opened to the Gentiles. He used Peter to do it in Acts chapter 9. Then Paul was the apostle sent to the Gentiles. God has opened up the door. Now listen, God is opening up doors right now all over the world. You say, what is God doing? He's opening up doors of faith to every kind of people. Why? Because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth, that all should be saved. Right? And so there are doors being opened. Listen, there are doors even in your neighborhood. There are doors in your circle of influence that the Lord will open up. Amen? How do you know when a door is open? I'll tell you how you know. When you begin to speak the message, people listen. See? When people listen, you know there's a door open. There's a door, an entrance. It's an entrance way for me to speak into their lives. Because we see this in the life of Paul. And that he began to walk through the door. What had happened? They began to share the gospel with the Jews. The Jews rejected it. They shared it with the Gentiles. The Gentiles said, oh my goodness, we got to hear this. We have to hear more. So the Gentiles come together to hear Paul. And Paul says, hey, the door of faith has been opened to the Gentiles. See? And they were hearing it. And so in my own neighborhood, years ago, I haven't seen a lot of action lately. I'm praying, Lord, I want to see people saved. I want to see people saved. I like being in business for myself. That's okay, but nothing gets it like seeing people born again, seeing people baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, seeing people love God, saying no to the world. I want Jesus. I want more of Jesus. But I remember going across the street and sitting with some neighbors and sitting in their house. They're unsaved. And saying, you mind if I pray? Oh, please, go ahead and pray. Man, launch out like you in church. Father, in the name of Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, and they loved it. Oh, we like you pray more. A door has been opened. Come on, that's a door. That's an open door. And what are you supposed to do with it? Stand there and look at it like a dog with a new dish? No, you walk through the door. You walk through the door. Have an opportunity to minister life. Right? 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Paul, in this scripture, he was speaking about Ephesus. Ephesus was the place where the temple of Diana was. And Ephesus became his great outreach, where the apostle John ended up pastoring in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a great place. Well, the door had opened up to Paul, and Paul says, I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to preach and teach and raise up a church, and that's what he did. So there are doors of opportunity that open. Another one in 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. God is the one who opens and closes doors. And as I'm sure you know, when God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God shuts a door, there is no person who can open it. Amen? All right. Revelation 3 and 8, some of what I just shared. Jesus said to the church there, I believe this is the church at Ephesus, Philadelphia, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word and not denied my name. And so God gave them, the Lord Jesus gave them a door of utterance, a door of speaking faith to many people. And he said, I'm not going to allow anyone to destroy that. All right, a couple of others. Revelation chapter 5, 1 through 5. I love this passage of Scripture because, again, only Christ could do this. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Some people say, what is this scroll business? This is the last will and testament of God. This is what God was going to unleash upon the earth. All right? Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? It didn't say who is strong enough. It said who is worthy. Come on. Didn't say who was strong enough. He said, who's worthy to open the scroll and loose its seal? And no one in heaven or in earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. No one could open this. And so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. No one in heaven or earth or underneath the earth could open up this scroll but the Lord Jesus himself, because he had prevailed, and he will open it so that the seals can be loosed and God's will be done. And just like no one could open that scroll, no one can open up the human heart. No one can open up the human heart but God alone. And so the scripture says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart so that she would give heed or pay attention to or listen to what Paul was saying. I could say a few things about the heart. Exodus 7:13, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. 1 Samuel 10:9, God changed Saul's heart. 1 Kings 10:24, the Lord put wisdom in Solomon's heart. And so God does things with the heart, but only in this passage of scripture that we looked at did the Lord open Lydia's heart. In Ezekiel 11:19, then 36:26, the Lord said, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit in them. So he's giving them a new heart. And he says, but here in Romans chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, we find out what God does in the heart of Lydia. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We all know that passage of scripture, wonderful passage of scripture, right? But listen, a person cannot believe in and with their heart until God opens their heart. And when God opens their heart, then you can believe. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9, right? So we are saved by God's grace through faith. And faith is the vehicle, but grace allows us to have faith to be saved, right? And so here he says, he goes on and he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God has to open a person's heart before a person can believe in and with their heart. And that's what we see, this wonderful work in the heart of Lydia. I said in a message I preached at our joint service on a Friday night, I talked a lot about God being first. And in all, you know, and that happens to be one of his names. Jesus said, I am the first and the last. So that's one of his names. He is first, okay? And so we see it even in the plan of redemption. You don't come to Christ without him coming to you first. Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father unless but through me. And he said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, right? And so it is the work of God that happens in the heart of a person first that allows them to come to Jesus. That's what was going on in the heart of Lydia. That's what my prayer and what I believe is going on in the hearts of people who are dear to us, people who are kin to us, people that we are believing God for their salvation. And then the last verse of our text, and when she and her household were baptized, some believe, have taught that this is actual instruction or an instance where infants were baptized because it says her whole household was baptized. Well, we don't know. I mean, it doesn't say she was married. We don't know if she had small children. But in the scriptures, those who are baptized are those who believe, right? And so my understanding of this is that as with Cornelius' household, they heard the gospel, believed, and then were baptized. That's what's going on here. And so, but we see God touching the head of the household and then the rest of the household being touched to believe the gospel and thereby substantiating their faith through baptism. So my heart is that that would continue. God touched the head of the home in order to touch the entire home with the gospel. May his work continue in our homes. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for divine truth. We thank you, Lord, that you're opening up things that no one else can open. Lord, and we thank you that you close things, Lord, that no one else can shut. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, for that brother and that sister, that mother, that father, that aunt, that uncle, Lord, those nephews and nieces, Father, those near and dear to us, those, Lord, on our job, those that we're praying for and crying out for, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would cause them to hear, you would cause them to see, you would open up the graves, Lord, you would open up the prison doors, Father, you would open up the womb, oh God, and cause new birth to come forth, Lord, and we pray, Father, for these souls and for these lives, Lord, that they might be born again, born of the Spirit, oh God, Father, Lord, and walk in the eternal life that you died to purchase for them. Father, we give you thanks for this, Lord. I pray your blessing and strength over your people, your house, your temple, all this week long in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord bless you real good.